This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Having the desire to become more teachable requires you to be humble and to understand that you don't have it all figured out. And to be quite honest, I don't think that we ever will. I think the older that I get, the more I realize that I barely even scratched the surface on what I know. I think that you could be the best leader, you could be the top CEO of any company and be really coachable and let people from every spot on the totem pole help you learn. Growth really doesn't happen in the comfort zone, and I'm a firm believer in that. So you gotta check your ego. You gotta get out of your own way. There's a quote that says the ego is the soul's worst enemy. You have such a cool plan for your life, and it would be such a shame if the ego was the one thing that held you back. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Back to the Show. Thank you so much for clicking on today's episode. I am currently sitting in my living room. It's about 7 p.m. I have the doors open. The birds are chirping. I think that there's a little bird couple. I think that they're little finches. And I'm trying to figure out where on my balcony they're building their nest. Like, I think it's up in the rafters somewhere. But this little bird couple spends all day, every day on the railing of my balcony. I don't know if they're scoping it out. I don't know if they're like trying to figure out if this is where they want to build their nest or if they're building a nest underneath, like in the unit, in the balcony of the unit below me. But they're super cute and they just keep hanging out and then they keep like fending off all the other birds that come. It's really cute. But I have all my doors open in my condo apartment, call it whatever you want. It's a condo, but sometimes I use the terms interchangeably. I am sitting on my couch and I've had like a really weird day today. I went and worked out this morning, but I'm really not feeling good. So I took a little midday nap. Got a lot of work done. I recorded another podcast. I wasn't going to record, but then I felt inspired to record. So here we are. I have a new flavor of kombucha today. It is the lemon berry one because they didn't have the trilogy. So I'm drinking the lemon berry. It's pretty good. And I'm drinking out of my new Yeti, water out of my new Yeti. And I decided to go ahead and get some branded merch. So I got a custom Yeti with the 80/20 pod logo on it, which makes me really happy. So those are my beverages of choice tonight. And we are going to wrap up the That Girl to This Woman series today with an episode all about how to become more teachable / coachable. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to title this episode yet, but the whole premise is becoming more teachable and coachable, which I think is a really cool way to just kind of conclude this series with just some encouragement and some of the tips and tricks that I have learned to just further my growth. Because truly, without having a beginner's mindset and without actively trying to be a coachable person, you're really not going to grow. So we're going to talk about all of that today in the final episode of the That Girl to This Woman series. And if this is the first episode of the series that you are listening to so far, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to all the episodes between, I want to say it was like the beginning of January, all the way up until now. It's been about 3 months of this series. So 12 episodes in total. And I'm just really, really excited to wrap up the series. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to introduce what I have in store for the next series, which I'm super pumped about. So be sure to stick around to the end because I will clue you in on what our next series is going to be about. Oh, I had one other little thing that I wanted to mention. Let me look at my notes. Instagram break. Yeah, it's going really well. So if you guys listened to last week's episode, this is big for me. If you listened to last week's episode, you would know that I decided to just completely delete Instagram from my phone, and I downloaded it on Saturday again to post about a 5K that we ran with my gym. It was called Rowan's Run. It was for an awesome cause, so definitely go. I guess they were stories, so they're not there anymore, but I just felt like I wanted to post about that. And then, I downloaded it on Thursday to post about the podcast. But other than that, Instagram break is going awesome. I have no desire to download the app. And when I did get on to like repost stories from you guys posting about the pod or whatever, I really had no desire to like check in or scroll reels or anything like that. So I felt like that was really healthy for me. I feel like taking time off of social media has just given me a lot more inspiration to a degree, and not necessarily creatively, which I think I'm definitely lacking in inspiration creatively. And I can't really figure out why. And I was hoping that taking time off of Instagram would help with that. But I will say I'm feeling pretty inspired within my fitness and within just kind of my like personal relationships and like friendships and stuff. And so I feel like maybe stepping back from social media has helped me to just reflect on what's physically around me rather than virtually around me. And I think that that's super important. So I feel like it's kind of opened up spaces that have been kind of suppressed for a while, because obviously when you pour into something so heavily, it's hard to give in other areas. And I don't think that I realized how much I was giving to my virtual space and my virtual community, which is obviously so, so important, because to a degree that's you all. But I think that when I was spending too much time in the virtual space, I was really missing what was truly around me, and I didn't even know it. Like, I mean, I'm always the first to be like, oh, like put your phone away, like hang up and hang out. You know, when I was with people, I was with people. But I feel like taking time off has truly allowed me to be fully present in the moment and not really just try to make the moment for Instagram, if that kind of makes sense. And oftentimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. Like, I didn't realize how much I was doing it until I stopped doing it. And then it's just kind of made life more special. So I probably will just kind of continue to not be on Instagram until I feel like I should go back. And then I have these spouts of like, oh, I should just delete all social media and just like go live in a cabin in the woods. But then the other part of me is like, no, I should go pedal to the metal once I get back on Instagram and like be a full-fledged influencer again and do this and do that. And I'm so back and forth with it, because I don't think that I really know what I want from it. And obviously I have a platform and I love talking to you guys. And it's just kind of, it's annoying to some degree that like I have to be on social media for like this to be successful. And it didn't used to be that way. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to make it so it can like go back to the way it used to be. So I don't know. That's all for me to figure out. But overall, IG break is good. Would highly recommend if you are anything like me and you're feeling like it is just way too much. So as far as other life updates go, I feel like I have 1,000 of them for you guys. So I think next week I will do a full-fledged life update episode where we talk about what I'm currently doing, my current season. I recently embarked on a cool endeavor, so I would love to share more about that with you guys. I feel like there are just like a million little things that I want to talk to you all about. So stay tuned for next week, because I will give you a whole big life update and everything will start to make sense. But that's next week. So let's go ahead and get into today's topic, which is how to become more teachable, how to become more coachable. And if you're listening to this episode, I really do applaud you, because having the desire to become more teachable requires you to be humble and to understand that you don't have it all figured out. And to be quite honest, I don't think that we ever will. I think the older that I get, the more I realize that I barely even scratched the surface on what I know. And it's one of those things where you realize that the more you know, the less you know. And being coachable, I guess I'll use the terms coachable and teachable interchangeably throughout this episode. Growing up in sports, something that my parents always stressed to me was the importance of being coachable. And the importance of listening to the people who are put in places of authority, who know more than you in a certain realm. So I was a swimmer growing up. I played lacrosse. I did dance and gymnastics. You know, I think my parents tried to just put me in tons of different sports to see what I liked. And swimming was the one that I really stuck with. And in my high school swimming years, being coachable was stressed heavily. And you could really see a big difference between the kids who I would consider coachable, who had really good active listening skills, who looked up to and respected the leaders on the team and the coaches on the team, and just had such a burning desire to be better. You could tell a big difference between those people and the people who were just kind of in it for fun, and the people who kind of had a big ego and couldn't humble themselves enough to want to be better because they already thought that they were the best. So the first group oftentimes was a lot more successful than the second group of people that I mentioned. And I firmly believe that's because these people wanted to learn so badly and they wanted to get better, and they were humble enough to understand that they weren't the best. And even if they happened to be the fastest or broke a record or something of that nature, all they wanted was to continue to improve. And so when you have that desire to learn, grow, and be better, it's really easy to be coachable. But there are a couple other aspects of being coachable, which we're going to talk about in today's episode. But first and foremost, I want to talk about having a beginner's mindset, because we talked about this a little bit in last week's episode, or maybe we talked about growth mindset. Growth mindset and beginner's mindset, they kind of go hand in hand, but a beginner's mindset, according to a quick Google search, is an attitude of openness and eagerness in which a lack of preconceptions allows a person to see everything as though they're seeing it for the first time. In a beginner's mind, there are endless possibilities, but in an expert's mind, there are few. I think that last sentence of the definition is really important here, because when you have someone who is so fresh, so new at something, it's almost like the innocence of not knowing what's ahead, or the naiveness of not knowing what's ahead, is helpful. And a lot of times when you ask, you know, successful people or entrepreneurs, you know, what's something that you wish you knew before you started, they'll tell you, I wish, you know, I'm glad I didn't know what I know now, because I don't think that I would have done it. And because they were a true beginner, they had such a hunger for knowledge and such a desire to succeed. Whereas if you're seasoned in this stuff, I feel like you kind of get jaded to some degree. If you're an expert in the field and you've seen it all and done it all, it's really hard to have that desire for growth still, because you've just been in it for such a long time. It's like there's really, it feels like at least there's little upward movement. And so when you have a beginner's mindset, even if you're seasoned in this stuff, you can still view any situation or any circumstance through a lens of there is opportunity for growth here. And I think that that's the first big piece of being coachable, is understanding that there's always room for improvement, and doing it eagerly instead of doing it because corporate told you to, or doing it because, you know, someone is forcing this lesson down your throat, or whatever it is. I personally found that having a beginner's mindset is really helpful in a lot of areas of life. And I'm going to go a little off script here and just give an example that's coming to mind right now. The dating world. Okay, it's really, really, really easy to become jaded by past relationships. And especially if you're in your 20s, you know, mid to late 20s, I think by now, if you're still dating, you're probably really tired of it. And for me, I've seen a thing or two. If you read my chapter, you know, I've done a thing or two. Being able to walk into a date or meet someone for the first time and not have like a and not have your guard up is a really tough thing to do, especially if you have been through certain situations or had your heart broken or worn your heart on your sleeve and it wasn't reciprocated. And so a lot of times in the dating world, things are hard. I was having a conversation with my sister in the kitchen and I was like, gosh, I just don't want to get hurt. And she was like, well, Lil, like, you're either going to get hurt or it's going to work out. And those are the two options. And that's typically the only two options that you can have in most situations in life. And so she was like, you would be silly not to approach this as if you've never dated before. And I was just kind of taken aback by that advice, but in a good way of like, oh, I never thought about it like that. Like, leave your baggage at the door and enjoy the experience and enjoy learning. Obviously, your past dating experiences have helped you to create boundaries and have helped you learn how to become a better conversationalist, or, you know, whatever it is. You've learned things because of your past dates or past relationships, but that doesn't mean that you're allowed to go into a date with this baggage and with a preconceived notion of, oh, I've done a thing or two and seen a thing or two, so that this person's gonna hurt me too.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I think when it comes to dating, having a beginner's mindset is super important because you never know what's going to happen. And the same thing goes with being coachable. You never know what's going to happen. And if you enter into a situation where you think you've done it all, you think you've seen it all, you think you know it all, you know exactly what the outcome's going to be, then you would really have no reason to be coached. You'd have no reason to be taught. So head into any situation with an open mind, with an open heart, and really embrace this beginner's mindset. I will say, sometimes I think that there's a weird space between claiming not to be the top dog and struggling with imposter syndrome. I was recording a podcast today with someone, and I'm pumped for you guys to hear that episode. I will download Instagram to repost about that episode. I'll definitely do that. It was on the Simply Bible podcast, and Bethany was just such a great host and just really held space for me and really kind of let me just share my testimony. And it was a really cool podcast episode. So I'll definitely link that when that goes live. But before the show started, she was just very complimentary of me and of my podcast, obviously 80/20, that you guys are listening to right now. And anytime that I record with someone and they compliment me, I'm just always so encouraged. And it reminds me that I don't have to be the best podcaster in the world, but I also have to start believing in myself a little bit more and really just try to push out that imposter syndrome, because sometimes I think that maybe it's because of how old I am or how old I'm not, or maybe, you know, just because I'm not on a network, I don't do things a certain way. I just kind of run the show how I see fit. I sometimes think that because it doesn't feel like I have authority, that I don't have authority. But in reality, that's just imposter syndrome. So I kind of am struggling to find the balance between always being eager to learn, but also asserting my authority in a space. I think that the two can coexist. And so I wrote this down. How can you toe the line between having a beginner's mindset while also being professional, smart, successful, and not downplaying yourself? And I think that the answer is just being coachable. Plain and simple. I think that you could be the best leader. You could be the top CEO of any company and be really coachable and let people from every spot on the totem pole help you learn. So no matter if you're at the tippy top or down in the basement in the bottom, you have the power to teach and you have the power to be teachable. So I wrote down 4 steps on how to become more teachable. First and foremost, you have to find a good teacher slash coach. And I think that fitness is a great example here. Find a coach or a workout class that you really vibe with well and continue to participate in that class and continue to build community in that class and continue to ask that teacher for feedback. I think it's also really important to realize that there is an instructor out there for everyone, but not every instructor is for everyone. I teach group fitness, and there are people in my classes that come once and never come back, and that's okay. There are people that come once and they haven't stopped coming since because we just gel really well, and that's okay too. So if you go to one class, and obviously this is just a fitness example, but you can find mentors, coaches, teachers in quite literally any aspect of your community. If you go to like one fitness class and you really don't like it, or maybe you're kind of put off by something that the instructor did or the instructor said, that's okay. But try it again with another instructor, or maybe do a little Google search. Most of these studios have either an app or a website where you can read a bio about that certain instructor. and see if maybe you guys grew up in the same hometown or you guys went to the same college or whatever. And find an instructor who it kind of looks like you might gel with, whose teaching style you might gel with. Check out their classes. Make sure to go to like two or three of them before you make a true decision. Because I mean, I could tell you from experience, being the student and being the teacher, not every class is going to be the best class. So make sure that you kind of have a little bit of consistency and just kind of check things out and actively seek out these people who can help you improve in whatever area they are experts in. Kind of similar to friendships, the right mentor isn't just going to knock on your door. You have to go out and actively seek out places and people that are willing to challenge you and change you. And I think that workout classes are a great place to meet mentors. Church is a great place to meet a mentor. Any sort of like social group or maybe a networking group or I don't know. I mean, any sort of like extracurricular activity that you can do as an adult, I think is a really cool place and opportunity to meet people who could potentially help you learn something. And so you have to actively go seek out these teachers, these coaches, these mentors. So first and foremost, find a good teacher. Secondly, ask for help. This is something that I used to be really bad at and something that I just really shied away from. And I think that it was because I was just kind of afraid of feedback. Feedback is such an interesting thing because you have to be, there's a true science behind leadership, and the best leaders, coaches, teachers, mentors are going to deliver feedback in a way that's constructive and in a way that is a true teaching and coaching moment, because that's how we grow. Part of learning a lesson is receiving feedback, plain and simple. And so asking for help, asking for feedback has to be a part of being coachable, and being able to receive that feedback and apply it is another point in being coachable and teachable. I think that a big part of being able to receive feedback gracefully is the delivery in which it was given to you. So it definitely starts with that teacher, with that mentor, with that coach. I think all feedback, this is my two cents right here. I think feedback should be given in private, first and foremost. I think that there's a big difference in calling people out versus calling people in. And not necessarily, you know, your piece of feedback is going to be a huge call out, but I think that it should be done in private unless there is, you know, true benefit to some sort of group feedback session. But we're talking one-on-one here. It shouldn't be in a big group setting. It shouldn't be in a situation where someone's going to get embarrassed or feel like they can't ask a question. It should be a one-on-one situation. I really like the sandwich method when it comes to feedback. It's giving someone a compliment, a constructive criticism, and then another compliment. And you just kind of like sandwich them together. And I think that if it's delivered in that way, it's definitely a little bit easier to take on the receiving end. But sometimes it's not necessarily that pretty. And so if you do receive a piece of feedback that's just constructive, it's important not to necessarily be defensive or not to overreact. But it is important to kind of look and see, okay, where's the truth in this feedback? Where can I improve? What areas can I adapt in? And really just make your own decision about how valid the feedback is, because obviously part of being teachable and being coachable is taking this feedback and applying it. But that's really hard to do if you're defensive to it, and that's really hard to do if it's a bad piece of feedback. When it comes to deciding if it's a good piece of feedback or a bad piece of feedback, you really have to look at who it's coming from, what it's about, when it was given, where it was given, and ultimately that feedback should make you feel empowered. It's not always going to be warm and fuzzy, but if the feedback isn't empowering and encouraging, I think that you kind of need to take a step back and look at who it's coming from. Obviously, it's not always going to be warm and fuzzy, but I think that it should be a learning experience. And I think that any good leader would want to empower their mentee to learn and grow. Okay, point number three, or tip number three, step number three, call it what you want, listening skills. Absolute must here is to really hone in on those listening skills. The amount of times growing up, I'm sure that this situation has happened to you all, the amount of times growing up where a teacher has explained the assignment or instructions or whatever, And then the teacher sets everybody free to do the assignment. And the kid in the back of the class is like, wait, what do we do? I don't understand number five. And number five is the one that the teacher specifically called out and told everyone exactly the right thing to do. And this kid just straight up didn't listen. And everyone's super frustrated. This kid obviously did not practice good listening skills. The same thing applies to adults. The same thing applies in the real world all the time. I mean, even if you just drive on the road, you can see that people just straight up don't pay attention or listen, because the amount of people that just straight up like don't know what a yield sign means, insane. So I think a lot of times as an adult, it's easy to tune out other adults. Being able to listen and being able to pay attention and actively listen are really, really important skills to have. And like we just talked about, receiving feedback would require you to listen, because how are you going to understand what they say if you're not listening? So I think that if you're in a space where you have the opportunity to learn from someone, you really need to tap into those active listening skills. So don't interrupt, listen without judgment, make eye contact. Body language is huge. So maybe you like nod your head along with what they're saying, or maybe you give a little smile if they say something funny, whatever it is. Really just anything that you can do to show that you're paying attention and that you care about what they have to say is ultimately going to help you be able to retain the information and apply it accordingly. And number four, it's so, so important to check your ego. More often than not, we get in our own way. We think we know what's best. We think that we don't need to be taught, or maybe our ego just doesn't let us tap into what we really could be if we just swallowed our pride, humbled ourselves, and let ourselves be coachable. I see this a lot as a fitness instructor. People in classes, they're either just on autopilot and they're not really tapping into their full potential, because they always pick up a 10-pound dumbbell, and if they pick up a 15-pound, they're not sure what would happen. And their ego tells them that, you know, if the 15-pound becomes too heavy, you know, if they decide to go lower in weight, then people in the class are going to judge them or whatever it is. And so, you know, I can just see it happen as an instructor, that a lot of times the ego gets in the way of improvement. And I mean, our ego is just really trying to protect us. And sometimes that's unfortunate, because growth really doesn't happen in the comfort zone. And I'm a firm believer in that. So you got to check your ego. You got to get out of your own way. There's a quote that says the ego is the soul's worst enemy. And I firmly believe that, because you have such a cool plan for your life. And it would be such a shame if the ego was the one thing that held you back. So that is how to become more teachable in four steps or less. First off, find a good teacher. Secondly, ask for help and feedback. Third, check in with those listening skills. And number four, ditch the ego. I really hope that these four steps were insightful to you and just helped you to kind of tap into that beginner's mindset and encourage you to really just continue to elevate who you are as a woman. And I really hope that this entire series helped you to just elevate who you are as a woman. And that was just kind of the whole point of really tapping into, okay, who does the world tell me I should be versus who does God tell me I should be? And over the past 3 months of writing this series and interacting with you guys and just hearing the feedback that you all have for me because of this series has been really, really cool. So I just appreciate all the love so far on the series, and I hope that you continue to enjoy it throughout all 12 episodes. But without further ado, I think it's time that I introduce our next series. The next series of the podcast is called the Solo Series. So we're taking it back to the basics, back to all solo episodes, just like how I used to do it. I have kind of been hinting at this for a little bit, but I really, really, really miss the simplicity of the podcast. I really miss just you and me talking. I miss our heart-to-hearts. And I love, love, love my guests. I've had the coolest guests on the show, but I think it's time to just kind of go back to my roots and just talk to you from my heart. And that's what we're going to do. So super pumped. The solo series begins next week. I guess I can pull up my Google Drive Excel spreadsheet and show you all, or tell you all, a couple of the season 12, that's crazy, season 12, insane topics. We're going to kick things off with a little get to know me / life update Q&A. I haven't really done a life update or get to know me in a long time. And I think that it would be cool to just kind of reintroduce myself to a degree. My birthday is also in April, so we're going to talk about 24 things that I learned before I turned 24. That's a long list of lessons, okay? I don't know if I'm going to be able to come up with 24 things, but we'll just see. I want to talk about starting to feel again and how to overcome feeling numb from anxiety and numb from depression and just finding little ways to find happiness in the mundane. I want to talk about burnout and how to deal with it. And then I've got a couple other ideas in my sleeve. I think I'm going to do like six to eight episodes in the series. We'll just kind of like see how things go throughout April and May. And then when the summer rolls around, I'm sure I'll have something else that I want to share with you guys. But for the next 6 to 8 weeks or so, it's just you and me on the mic. And we're taking it back to the old school ways of just pressing record and seeing where things go. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to leave a rating and a review. That just helps more people find and listen to the show. I love you all so much. Thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you next week.